Oh no, no! I'm trying to like decide what we're gonna if we're gonna do another one. What we're gonna talk about rather than new, so we kind of like no date.
Should we just go with like another Netflix pick?
Basically, it's best one from the Cineasia catalog.
Mm-hmm. There is the new one that War of Arrows, War of the Arrows,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the basically Korean House of Flying Daggers. Let's see. Let's watch the trailer and decide.
Oh, can't I? I've turned my laptop off because I was going to break it. You watch it and decide for me. Everyone knows you're the leader of this podcast.
I just typed up War of the Arrows and the first result is the entire film on YouTube.
That would have taken ages.
But no, I think that one might do best. Because that's new. That's near from their catalogue and it looks pretty. I've not heard really anything bad about it.
Yeah.
It is a. Oh, clearly a period film. Like, it's taken to load the trailer. This War of Arrows is not really as convincing me now. It looks alright, but I just.
Let's just go for a nice heartfelt comedy. Like, Kung Fu Dunk. What could be wrong with Kung Fu Dunk?
Let's see, I'll hop on Netflix and.
The catalog.
Aye. Hong Kong films.
We'll be able to go for a suspenseful thriller.
Let's see. We have Rumble in the Bronx, Drunken Master 2, Shaolin Soccer, Shaolin, Twin Dragons, Triads of the Underworld, Ninja Checkmate, Dirty Kung Fu. Dirty Kung Fu.
Sexual Kung Fu.
I expect a lot of chop blocks with penises.
So hopefully that's not that B-movie film that I saw advertised where it's like the guy gets a horse cock implant.
Nah, I think this is a successful small-time thief sees his life and livelihood threatened when a master criminal rolls into town with deadly skills. We could go for The Detective, which is a private eye with poor eyesight gets the case he's been waiting for when a desperate friend begs him to find a woman, to find a woman assassin before it's too late.
So it's the Asian Mr. Magoo.
With Aaron Kwok.
Aaron Kwok.
Yep. The other dude for Storm Riders.
Aye. So, no, what was he in? Volcano?
Nah, that's Crane.
Eh?
You thinking Volcano High?
I think so.
That's Crane.
Who was in that film that was in Storm Warriors?
No one could.
Storm Riders.
They're all Korean.
They're all. What would be the Japanese guy?
Sonny Chiba. No, he wasn't in Thingwee either.
I thought he was Clown.
No. Aaron Kwok is Cloud.
And I thought he was in Volcano.
No, it's not. It's different people. It's like all Koreans.
I reckon that's just what comes into my head when I think back. It's like that's why I wanted to watch Volcano High, because the guy for Storm Warriors was in it. Or Storm Raiders. Okay, mixed.
Oh well, you would have been disappointed if you were looking for him in that film.
Fuck you, cow. I'm going to double check. I think you lie. You make me feel very disheartened about my intelligence right now. What are you on the loofah? Volcano. Joe versus the Volcano.
Is it Tom Hanks you're looking for?
Volcano. Right. No results. It doesn't exist. You're a liar. News coming up with, like, how come you walk funny?
Is the computer just giving you shit now?
It's fucking... Steve, the computer's my phone. Right. Fall. Can. Oh. Hey, you sure this is Volcano High?
Yeah.
H-I-G-H. Nothing.
Volcano High. Wasango. From 2001.
Maybe if I put Wasango in.
Aye. W-A-S-A-N-G-O.
Aye. Wasango.
Yep.
You said it like it was a mythical beast.
Or a side dish.
Oh no.
You seen the black dub? The poster art with Snoop Dogg. Big boy.
Right, the place of hips, hip
Method
hop,
Man,
Tracy
Morgan, Morgan.
Andre 3000.
Yes, well, with the voices of hip hops and TV's hottest stars.
Oh, I was wrong. Fucking they laugh at me.
That's all right. We'll not put this on air.
No. I'm your dumb but beautiful sidekick.
You're wrong on both accounts.
Fuck you. Alright, you compliment me.
Aye. I compliment you with a slap to the face.
Yes. What about the day Storm Riders? Because I haven't seen that in ages.
Eh.
The description sounded good.
The very first one.
Aye. I didn't, when I first watched it, I didn't understand that the bad guy was Japanese.
Really? This is what's changed your mind?
Yes. And I read the comic.
This okay. We'll discuss Storm Riders in the next one then.
Yeah!
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire, episode 144. I'm your host, Stuart Sullivan, and joining me today, we've got Andy.
Yeah, I'm not saying Walker, because you got into me last time.
The fact that you bring it up just angers me.
Fuck you. I'm not your crony that you can beat whenever you want.
Just my train of thought's ruined.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, house cleaning, yes. Podcastonfire.com if you want to go onto our website, see our abundance of episodes, bonus episodes, and a website with brown wallpaper. Or find us on Facebook. We did have a forum, but of course spam bots, the machines won in the end. So the forum is now locked, but the conversation, the party, has now moved over to Facebook. So search on Facebook, Podcast on Fire Network. We could add you to our discussion group. Or if you just want to like us and get on with your life, go to facebook.com/POF Network. And if you insist on twatting us a tweet on the Twitters, twitter.com/podcastonfire. It will consist of me tweeting pictures of Scottish cuisine, like Totty Scone nachos. Yes, essentially.
Oh no.
she does not like Totty Scone nachos, does she? Other than that, Stitcher Radio, that seems to be back up to date, no longer selling horse penis pills and free pharmaceuticals.
Good.
Just go on Google for that one. And I think that's it. I'm sure there's more, but we'll figure out by the end of the show. So, how's things?
All right, I suppose. Just been sitting about watching telly, as usual.
Is that a segue, Andrew?
Eh? No, I'm lying on my bed, I'm not driving about.
What about that Walking Dead?
What about it?
Things happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about these things.
Well, okay, we'll try a spoiler-free minute.
Right, we'll try. You can just read the back cover.
Of the DVD that isn't out yet.
Yeah. Fuck you. It's somewhere in the world.
Aye, so, let's see. I will make sure we get a... And we'll start talking about it now. No. So,
right.
Wasn't it fucked up when Blank had to shoot Blank after Blank blanked? And then a zombie blanked the Blank.
We play Blankety Blank here. I didn't get what you're saying.
And then when Rink went Blank and blanked those Blanks.
Right. I think I'm getting up to speed with these Blanks.
And then the Blanked blanked, and he picked up the Blank, and it was right. Blank on the other side.
No, I've lost you again.
Or the Blank that went a bit with the two Blanks on Blanks, and she had the big Blank,
right,
blanked the Blanks when she finned the Blank.
I got up to one point in the Blank, and then I lost you again. It's like I catch up and then you fucking go fucking too quick on me again.
Okay, I'll set us up for our spoiler talk.
Aye, that's easier. That's
can
easier.
We manage? Let's go for... I think we could do 10 minutes. I think we'll need 5.
Try 5, aye.
Okay, so if you don't want to have season 3 of The Walking Dead spoiled to you, we will be discussing, I think, everything so far. So this is the day of... the mid-season finale, so we're going to talk about everything leading up to that episode. So if you want to hear no spoilers, fast forward 5 minutes starting from now. So, yes, essentially I was talking about the phone call.
My first blank.
The first blank was Laurie dying and getting eaten and the kid had to shoot her. Another one was Rick answering the phone.
Uh-huh.
And then another one was Michonne killing her zombie.
Her zombie parents slash brother sister thing.
Yeah, I think one of them's supposed to be her brother and another's supposed to be her boyfriend.
Is it? No, one of them was female, wasn't it?
Nah.
One of them had like soggy ass tits.
Nah, they were just man tits.
Oh, right. One was her brother, one was her boyfriend.
Aye.
Wait. So you get for surviving a zombie apocalypse.
Aye. Well, we don't expect, well, if they turn back to human, like, they're going to be in a lot of pain because you've cut off the bottom half of their face.
And they don't have arms.
Aye. So, like, if it is, like, fucking, like, a zombie apocalypse, like, an invasion of the body snatchers and the queen gets killed and everyone turns back to human, they're going to wake up and go, ah, kill me! Well, they won't even be able to say that. You'll just have to. It says, why did I think that's a good idea?
No.
But I guess you killed them immediately after getting to the town?
No, it was when they saw the plane crash, the helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm.
They went to investigate it, and then the folk from the town turned up in their cars. So she killed them because they were starting to make noise.
Right.
So they didn't hear her, but they eventually heard them anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, probably our main talking point should be the last episode.
Yes.
When, like, shit got real.
Yeah.
Glenn got tested and Maggie got mind fucked.
Yeah. Almost got real fucked.
Yeah. Like, I was almost kind of worse than what's just happened to her.
Yeah.
It was like, that's not a thing you want to happen to someone. Where they're stripped down and then forced over a table.
Yeah.
Then just left. It's like, it would have been pretty brutal to watch that at least, so.
Yeah.
But
They couldn't show that on telly.
Aye. I'm hoping that's what they're doing because... No, I can't talk about it. Like, there's further things in the comics
yeah.
of similar situations, but go a lot further.
They go
but up. It's different people.
Right.
So...
Is it like in the... Is it the first series where, like, Shane tries to rape Rory?
Right.
Did that happen in the comics at all?
I don't think it was raped, no.
No, he attempted to rape her, but she beat him in the face, and he came to his senses.
Aye. Well, basically, from what happens in the comics, like, a character does get raped, another character gets, like, mutilated.
Aye.
So, it's in that thing where it's like, all these people, well, I'm trying to think because it's happened like almost on a few occasions in the comic books,
mm-hmm.
like where they've discovered like Woodbury, but then there is this other place that was safe,
aye.
But the people that were safe were also like under threat from a tribe of like cannibalistic bikers, almost,
aye.
And they weren't to be fucked with.
Oh yeah.
So I can't remind which one done which to them, but. There is, like, a woman does get raped, and a guy does get mutilated.
Are any of them still in the group?
Well, that's the thing, it's a big group now, and half it's, like, TV group that don't exist in the comics.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't mind if Maggie is in the comics. I think she is, because being Herschel's daughter and all that, she must be. Like, Glenn's definitely in the comics.
Aye.
And I almost thought they were jumping the shark and, like, killing him off.
Aye.
Because...
Just when they released a zombie on him.
Aye. Or when... what is that dude's name?
Like, you ain't Dale?
No, Dale is Michael Rourke's character. Is it Mickey or something he gets cried?
No.
But it was like when he was torturing him, like... I'm surprised he never cut him up. Like, he has that blade on him, like, he could have just been just fucking writing his name on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not 5 minutes already.
Is it? I've still spoken with nothing. Make
Jesus
it down.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so if you're back onto this now, we're extending our conversation by, like, another 5 minutes.
So
fast forward another five.
Yes. No.
So, okay.
He did take his knife to his neck, his throat though. He's like holding it, like he grabs the knife with one hand.
Oh no, he was holding it across his mouth, like his teeth.
Oh, was it? I thought it was in his throat.
Aye, he put it across his face. And I thought, it was like he was trying to break his teeth or something. Like, it was just, like, just being, like, annoying, basically.
Aye.
I thought he would have done like a wee jab to the leg or something with a knife. What's the point if you have that knife for a hand? Yeah, you could kill a lot of zombies and open tinned food, but you're shit at torturing.
Yeah.
So, and
just when the bit where they chucked up the zombie was awesome.
Aye.
Literally just released it on him and he was tied to a chair and he had to escape it.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
That was bad. Suspenseful television.
Aye. It's badass when they got out and killed the zombie though.
Aye, with the arm.
Aye. And they all thought he was dead.
But now it's gone to the point where like Rick and the team are going to ascend upon
Woodsbury. Yeah.
So it, like tonight is like the fucking episode of like shit's gonna kick off. It is like what cliffhanger are we gonna be left on? Are we gonna be left on the fault? That someone's dying, or like, let's just say, Rick and his team get in there. The governor and the Woodsbury crew are there with Maggie and Glenn,
mm-hmm.
and just when they fucking try to do some sort of negotiation, they just fucking shoot Glenn, and then just bring up credits.
Nah, I think it's gonna be more to do with the brothers. They'll see each other.
Essentially, Daryl's good and Mickey Rourke is evil incarnated.
It's not Mickey Rourke, it's Rooker.
Rooker. Aye, okay, the wrestler is not... Aye. The wrestler is not in Walking Dead.
No. No, I think it's going to be something to do with them. It's like, they'll meet each other, be all happy, cuddle...
Then wait... Then a second. Aye.
They'll hear their differences, and then it'll come to the point where they'll start wrestling for a gun, and it'll go off. And they'll just look at them with their shocked faces, and then it'll end. You'll not get to ken who got shot until the next season, the start of the next season.
Aye, because there's still the group left in the prison, isn't there?
Aye, they
left the baby and
Herschel and the women. Herschel, all the women, and the wee laddie.
Aye. So that could be... I think they'll basically get caught. Daryl will go with Meryl, that's his name.
Meryl, that's it.
And basically, the governor, I reckon, they'll catch Rick, put them in some sort of prison and say, fuck it, we're going to take the prison.
Aye.
And with them locked up, they can't do shit, and he knows his kid's there, and he's just going to have to do something desperate to get out, like blow a guard.
That's sick.
So, come on, man, it's a zombie apocalypse. When the last time you get your dick sucked?
Fuck's sake. I just want to cut me your head.
Like, how else are you going to get yourself out of prison when you have, like, no other tools?
No sucking dick in it.
There's, like, three women in prison with you, and you, like, choose to do it yourself.
No.
Even the Asian guy is disgusted.
So, Rick, you're not the leader I thought you were.
Aye. Like, Glenn, you're a woman, like, go for it.
Why don't you just get Maggie, idiot?
Oh, but then it's like his woman being defiled. Like, all right, so they're definitely not going to be doing that on TV. Let's think of it that way.
That's the X-rated.
They will not blow their way out of prison.
We hope. We wish it was true, but it can't be.
So, what did you think about the fucking zombie testing thing?
Well, it was weird.
Aye, because like that was not in the books at all. So this was something of their own creation.
Yeah.
And like everyone knew the results of that fucking test for the beginning with. Like, of course that guy's not gonna be human after
he
turns.
Although that's the first time we've seen a zombie that died in a person who died in natural causes turn into a zombie.
Aye.
It did look weird. It was because it was just his eyes that went funny.
Aye, because most folks die being eaten, so they're usually horribly scarred and bloodied.
Oh, this is the best bit of stuff. Fucking...
Right, that's his time up.
Oh. Let's go talk about something good.
So, yes, when that blanked, and they unleashed him, and then blank went for blank... And blank had the blank in his blank.
Oh, that's disgusting. Stop talking about that.
It's not like they're blanked their way to prison.
So,
right. Let's just say I'm looking forward to seeing the finale of Walking Dead.
Everyone should be.
Yes. And if you are behind, like, there's a means on how to catch up. Shit's easy enough to find.
Yeah.
So, you dropped a text to me last night saying this is you watching End of Watch, the Jake Gyllenhaal Mike Piena?
Mexican guy. That's what I called him. Because so, I lived that Mexican guy for something I've seen before.
So, this is just out in cinemas, but it is also out online in Blu-ray quality, which...
Yeah.
Surely that's going to hurt their box office a little.
Why?
I must be in the sense that this must have came out fucking ages ago in America.
I mean, you showed me a trailer here. It was about July.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have came out ages ago in America.
Let's see. Opening weekend, September.
Aye?
Mm-hmm. September 23rd on 2,730 screens.
What did it make?
13 million.
That's not that great. But I suppose it's easy to film, isn't it?
Aye.
So just handheld cameras.
Budget was 7 million.
That's pretty good. Almost doubled their money.
Yeah, but I wonder... Yeah, no, they've done alright. Like, at least they break even. They've not done the Cloud Atlas, which was like 100 million and they made 10.
I didn't even realise that was out yet.
That's not out here till middle of February.
Is it not?
Nah. They need to get their fucking heads on straight and stop doing these... the same with Wreck-It Ralph. America got that for Thanksgiving. We're getting it for Easter.
Easter?
Aye. February?
Oh, February's no Easter.
Oh, wait, that's April.
No Easter, you freak. You throw your eggs in February and it'll freeze.
Aye, aye. I was just thinking Disney were asking us to keep it for Easter. Saying it would make a good Easter film.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a new children's movie coming out every month next year, so it's going to be hard. There's a lot of fucking animated children's movies coming out next year. Which has nothing to do with End of Watch. From director David Ayer, who I've never heard of. And I think this is... What has he done? Director of Training Days and Fast and Furious. I guess... Well, this... I was going to say, this probably would have been a... Oh, wait, he directed none of those. He's the director of Street Kings and Harsh Times.
Other films I've not seen.
Let's see. It is the story of two young officers are marked for death after confiscating a small cache of money and firearms from the members of a notorious cartel during a routine traffic stop.
Are we allowed to say? Are we spoiling it?
Well, they find the shiny guns.
Aye, but they were marked for death after from the very last time.
Don't mention that bit.
Mhm.
Aye. That was the horror movie edge to it. Well, that's twisted. But it is. I guess it actually took that long for the story to really get anywhere. Because for the majority of it is, it's sort of filmed in the way of these lost, this found videotape with mysterious footage, your Blair Witch and your Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
But this is it turned into a crime thriller where two young cops, one of them, Jake Gyllenhaal, was doing a course on film.
No, it was free press or something. Something to do with that.
He was doing something in college and basically had to film a video diary of shit. Mm-hmm. So he basically was doing his day job. So he hooked him and his pal up with little James Bond spy cameras to put in their pockets and had a handheld video camera. So a majority of the footage is all from these cameras, but occasionally there's the invisible cameraman filming them both from afar, and which is always strange if they once in a while when they say it's a found footage, and then there's these clear camera work being moved, and it's who's this person that they don't recognise that's filming them all?
I know.
I've seen some of this. This film's had little moments like that, but there's some that says lost footage, and then it's there's some pretty good camera work going on here for lost footage.
Yeah. So skillfully done.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess it does have an interesting novelty to it, since it's not another horror movie done on camera. It's cops doing... you're watching a feature-length version of Cops, essentially, isn't it?
Aye, basically, aye.
Mm-hmm. So, and Jake Gyllenhaal's the excited character.
Aye. Well, both of them really are.
Aye. It's two young bucks. They're fucking... They like fucking busting people and laying down the law. And says, instead of arresting the guy, and says, right, let's fist fight.
Aye, that was good.
And if I kick your ass, you put those handcuffs on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, shit gets real when they do dabble with this notorious cartel.
Aye.
And they pull a guy over and basically find out the most blinged up AK-47.
That was awesome.
Fucking jewel encrusted pistols. And so, it's interesting, and of course, then it goes into spoiler territory where it shit gets dark and dark and nasty. But I did like the interesting bit. Like, they do get kind of creative with the camera angles. Like, I'm pretty sure at one point there's the cameras on the end of Jake Gyllenhaal. Did he have a shotgun or like a rifle at one point?
No, do you know, there was a, they've got cameras next to their eye. It's like a camera that goes around the back of their head. And there's one, you sometimes see just a wee black line next to their eye. That's an actual camera.
Right, I never saw that one, but I'm pretty sure they had a gun and the camera was at the back of the gun.
It was the
back.
Pistol. It looked like fucking instant Call of Duty skills.
No, but I mean the camera's actually facing Jake Gyllenhaal. It's going down the barrel of the gun to his face and it's moving because it's on the tip of the gun.
Oh.
So like the camera's swinging about but it's always focused on him because it's like basically they have like sellotaped a camera to the barrel of the gun. But I know what you mean about the first person scene as well. Like which they the only thing they done in Doom that seemed amusing. But yeah, it was good. It was interesting. And if you haven't seen End of Watch, because it is relatively new, it did come out of cinemas last week over here, so I think, will we go for a 2-minute spoiler?
Yeah, may as well.
Make it three, because we blather. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to find out, if you want to keep this movie concealed, skip forward 3 minutes, starting from now. So I thought it went a total serial killer route when they found the cartel.
Aye, the
burial.
Aye.
And, like, it was, I reckon, like, it gets extreme, but it could be in the sense, like, that sense, like, this is real, yo. Like, the man stabbed in the eye.
Oh, that was awesome. And then they came out and laughed and be horrified.
Aye. And then there's,
like
the woman.
She's still alive.
And the woman being fucking bloody to a pulp.
Yeah.
And it was, like, that moment, and it says, dude, you should have just fucking shot the fuck out of the guy.
Yeah.
Like, they were all like, we would have gave you the pass. And I think that...
Even the police chief said that. Why did you not just shoot him?
Aye. I think the guy that told him, like, giving him the pass was, like, the dude with black hair. And he's like, I kept double guessing. I was like, that's not the guy from Modern Family, is it? Like, the father figure. And he's like, yeah, shoot that fucking Mexican bastard now. Like, no. You're so upbeat and funny. Now you want to, like, fucking shoot homie here.
Yeah.
But, home like, that he did kind of deserve to get shot.
Oh,
like, aye. He saw them running, and he said, right, I'll give up. Here, arrest me.
Aye, big tubs.
Aye, I've had fun beating the fuck out of this woman and stabbing your friend in the face. And, yes, the fucking shootout ending.
Yeah, that was, like, cool.
I was frustrating as fuck. I was like, come on, right, come on, where's the good guys, right? Like,
aye, when they keep on shouting for the police and shouting for them, they never turn up.
Aye, like, this is frustrating, is it? But I'm pretty sure that's real, because whenever you need to phone the police in life, they're never there when needed.
Yeah.
I was like, yep, so people's being beaten up outside my house, I will phone the police. 3 hours later, knock on my door, which house was it? I was like, ah. It's all over, the body's in the fucking wheelie bin.
Yeah.
But yeah, the ending that I still just is like, it just, that kinda left me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Aye. I quite liked it.
Like,
Mexican told ended his own life to save Jake Gyllenhaal's life.
Aye, just like to the, lay the on whole the body. Brotherhood thing. Aye. Laying their life down for their partner. But at least like the cocky Mexican bitch got shot.
Oh, fuck, I hate that bitch.
Aye.
I hate them all.
Fucking crime
slag. The wee scary fucking runt Mexican guy with a fake ass tash. he only had hair at each side. He's fucking mouth.
When, it was like, thankfully, I had like that feel like they fucking opened up, shot both of them to death.
Yeah.
And then, is it right, is this, are we getting left with this cold ending? And then the fucking police show up and... 3 minutes.
No.
So, yes, but, like, justice got served.
Yeah, basically.
Aye. So, that is End of Watch in cinemas now and all over the internet.
Yep, worth a watch.
Yeah, it is an interesting take. It's
not
different
really
from
you'll
all the
see
other.
Before.
Aye. So it's a fresh look.
Yeah.
And Christ, let's just take a little break now and get back with the trailer roundup. Now on to the trailer roundup. This week we are looking at Snitch, the new movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and The Grandmaster, Wong Kar-wai's Ip Man martial arts movie. So our first trailer up today for discussion is Snitch. So.
Looks not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Rock doing the serious crime films now. It looks a lot better than his last crime flick. Was it Drive or Faster?
Faster.
Yeah.
Even that was not too bad.
Aye. This one just looks like a step up story wise.
Yeah. Looks like there is more
substance
involved. It's not just all action.
Aye. So, it's described as a fast-paced action thriller, but obviously, dark stories and more Mexican drug cartels.
Aye. And did you notice who was in it?
I noticed Shane from Walking Dead, Chalky from Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, I didn't look at him. I just noticed the guy that got stabbed in the eye for fucking...
Oh, I didn't notice him.
Aye.
I think Film Drunk described it as, could Snitch be that elusive, non-crappy rock vehicle? So, I think a lot of people are getting their hopes up for a good film behind this one.
Yeah.
And it looks interesting. Mm-hmm. I have the feeling now that it's not going to work out well for The Rock. Well, his character at least.
Aye, something bad's happening to that boy.
Aye, you might save your son. It'll be like that moment where he gets out of prison, you hug him, as you watch your car blows up. And then there's like a Mexican in the background smoking a cigar, firing a machine gun into the air.
A gold encrusted machine gun.
Aye, and flies away on a jetpack.
Fuck off.
It's like crop dusting fields with cocaine.
I wonder what that would do to the crops. Would that make them hallucinogenic?
It would definitely create a lot more fucking vegetarians that week. So, yeah, there's no really too much we could say about this because, again, it's just
a wee trailer.
It's supposed to be opening in theatres February 22nd in America.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get it a bit
next December for us, most likely. Actually, let's see if they have got a date on this one. Snitch is 22nd. Oh, no UK release date.
No UK.
Aye,
we're
too
not
soon.
Getting it.
Too
we're
soon.
Not getting it.
Just move on.
Right.
So, our second trailer for today is the new Grandmaster trailer from Wong Kar-wai. Basically the other Ip Man movie. Of course, the Ip Man films have been a big hit in Hong Kong with Donnie Yen doing Ip Man 1 and 2, and we've had the young Ip Man Legend is Born film. I'm struggling to think of any of the cast, and I do know Hank Yim Yu and Sammo have cameo or supporting roles in that film.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't think it's
not too much.
Yeah, I'm sure it's streaming online anyway, so it is easy to get a hold of if anyone is that interested.
Mm-hmm.
So, start the trailer.
Alright, 3, 2, 1, go. Right.
So, that was the Grandmaster trailer. Aye, so it looks like the most interesting movie from Wong Kar-wai's back catalogue, I would say, because like this is the director that's known for films such as In the Mood for Love, As Tears Go By, 2046, Chungking Express, which are some good films and usually strong dramas, and then there's others like 2046, which is so fucking boring. Like, they're definitely really well filmed, like visually stunning films, but fucking too long, boring as fuck.
Story.
Like, yeah, it's a highly acclaimed director, but sometimes, like, his films are fucking dull. Like, yeah, I really like In the Mood for Love. That is a brilliant film. Like, mood, atmosphere, music, fucking everything in that movie works so well, but sometimes, like, shit's just boring. So, this Grandmaster trailer is, like, looks like a, I guess it could be described as a really well done martial arts movie, like a maybe a really cinematically dramatic, like it looks like a martial arts film that's going to be equal proportions of strong action, strong acting, and
like it looks like it's getting music scores and stuff like that.
It does look like it could get your pulse racing on some of the action scenes.
Yeah.
It does. It just kind of looks like a good film all around. Like, doesn't look like. It just looks like an incredibly strong film.
Aye, it did look really nice. Really good. It's hard to tell what the storyline of the film is.
We didn't have any subtitles on the trailer we looked at, but like it does. Look like there's. Well, this is a real action-heavy trailer, so basically. From the fight scenes we see, like, there are some great location settings, like it's a train station, whilst there's a fucking steam train going by, there's like this quick shot of someone being punched towards the train.
Yeah.
So that, like, there could be a gory moment. And then it's like them fighting in the rain with rickshaws and a lot of people getting kicked through windows
and the random noise of a tiger.
There could be tigers.
Did you not hear that? And you don't notice it?
I never noticed it, no.
No, there's a bit where there's just like a random... It's rare. It's like the camera's going towards them. And it's just like a noise of a tiger. It's like, that's just random.
Sometimes they do that when it's like... If they put a sound to the style of Kung Fu they're doing.
Right.
Like if it's like tiger... tiger fist. Well, actually, the best example would be... Forbidden Kingdom. When Jackie Chan and Jet Li are fighting, and the styles they're using, they had the animal sound effects going with it. So for like the style of martial arts they were doing, like the swoosh sound effect also had the sound of like the tiger
going along with
it. Just to add impact to the move. So it could be along that lines, but like we'll not know for another few months yet. This is getting the release date of December 18th, so I hope it should have a... I think it could be up to the standards of getting a UK release. Like, it does look like a strong enough flick. Like, if enough crappy martial arts movies and low budget, like Ip Man, Donnie Yen, not those ones, the Legend is Born, Young Ip Man movies, if that could get a UK release, a proper decent, like, style and substance Ip Man film should definitely get a UK release.
Do you think it'll get the same kind of hype as, like, House of Flying Daggers and stuff?
It could do. Like, it's... It could go down for the fact, like, familiar faces, like, look, Zhang Zi isn't dead, she is still working.
Aye.
She's like the fucking Chris Tucker of Hong Kong. Or of China. She seems to just disappear off screen and then occasionally appear in a big budget movie. But Tony Leung seems to be a good match. I think they were always saying Ip Man was never Donnie Yen. Like, he wasn't that built, he wasn't tall. Like, he was just this short, strong man. So I'm guessing, like, Tony Leung, Chu Wai is maybe a truer representation of Ip Man.
But in real life, is he into martial arts?
Tony.
Is he like, aye, is he known for his martial arts?
No.
Or is he just a so out and out actor?
He is, like, just a strong actor, so. But, like, this film, I'm pretty sure it's maybe been in production for at least 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it could maybe be closer to five.
Uh-huh.
Aye, because Wong Kar-wai is also infamous for taking so fucking long with his movies. Like, that was, like, the continuous joke about 2046. Like, we were expecting that to be the release date. So, we were... Like, the amount of time that was put into it, and I'm sure Tony, they had, like, filming was postponed at one point because Tony Leung broke his arm, like, amongst... He was either training for the film, and he broke his arm, or it was during filming he broke his arm, like, just doing action.
Yeah.
So... Like, that could easily be worked into posters saying, hard-hitting, bone-breaking action.
That would be cheesy. Mm-hmm. That would turn it into a fucking Asian B-movie.
Aye.
Just with that line.
It'll get released in the UK as Ninja Grandmaster. Or the Grandmaster Ninja.
Aye. No, can't we? They can't just go after Ninja.
They'd like to. Or assassin. They could do assassin.
Aye.
Like, the Grandmaster Assassin.
That sounds made real.
Mm-hmm. But he's not an assassin. You're is watching, like, there's no... Well, there might be assassination attempts on Ip Man, but...
Yeah.
Like, the dude is mostly famous for being the teacher of Bruce Lee. So...
He's haunting me. She's haunting me something.
Justin...
A home that was left standing in the middle of a busy new road in China after its owners refused to leave has been demolished. The couple living there, duck farmer Liu Baojian and his wife, were the lone holdouts in the neighbourhood that had been demolished to make way for the road. Is this interesting? Are you just showing a fucking random news
title? I thought it was poignant for you.
And just because it was from fucking China. Fuck off, I don't need the rest of that. Didn't waste my time.
Is it being made into a film by Wong Kar-wai? Duck Farmer Lau.
I'll read to the bottom, maybe it is.
It is not. If it is, he's getting, like, presented by, like, his on-screen persona will be Donnie Yen. He's like, I'm just a humble duck farmer.
Although,
but ripped as fuck.
Although the photos are pretty funny. They've literally built a motorway around this house.
Oh, it sounds like a cartoon.
There's a motorway on one side of it, a motorway on the other side of it, and there's half a motorway built up to the house. And it's like, it's basically kind of like a block of flats, and there was only two people living in it, but they've finally demolished it.
So it's just like the stubborn thing, where it says, well, we'll just build around it. Well, I'll try it! And then it cuts to the next shot of all the motorways around them. Try and sleep now, duck farmer.
They finally left after accepting a 260,000 yuan. Is that the currency?
Mm-hmm.
They accepted that in compensation, and they finally left.
Exactly. How the hell are you going to farm ducks under a motorway?
No. It's like they lived at the top of a fucking 5-story building. Where the fuck are they going, the ducks?
Mm-hmm. It's not like pigeons. You can't keep them on the fucking roof.
I'm not even kidding where that village is. I'm not even trying to pronounce it. Zhejiang village, I think.
That just sounds like a dynasty warrior to me. Sorry.
Right.
So, back to films.
Yes.
So, the main show for discussion this afternoon is 1998's Storm Riders.
Yeah.
From director Andrew Lau, starring Eken Cheng and Aaron Kwok. Sonny Chiba, Michael Say, Anthony Wong, Jason Chu, Shu Kei, Vincent Say. Who else can I remember? Oi Chung's in there somewhere. It's essentially the cast of Young and Dangerous.
Aye, basically. I noticed a couple of them.
It is like Ben Horn is like Shu Kei's father, and Shu Kei was in there. Kirsty Young. The charity, she was in the prequel. She had a cameo appearance in there. Of course, Yikan Cheng being the lead, Michael Say being one of the brothers along with Jason Chu.
Mm-hmm.
Very Young and Dangerous heavy. Like, it's also for the Young and Dangerous production company, Best of the Best. Like, in opening credits, well, when it has the production company logos, we have, of course, Golden Harvest.
Yeah.
And then it's Bob. That comes Bob. Up as like, Eric and Nelson, the day guide, Bob. And then it's like, Best of the Best, but it's just like B.O.B.
Right.
So it's like, it is a production company that got together amongst the Young and Dangerous series. Uh-huh. It was like Manfred Wong, Wong Jing, and Andrew Lau. I think they formed the production company, and it was essentially because of the Young and Dangerous movies that got together. They just basically formed their own production team to finance the Young and Dangerous movies. I think that logo appears from the second movie onwards.
Oh.
So, like, it's just them. So, it actually makes a lot of sense that so many of the Young and Dangerous characters just showed up. I think, actually, like, watching it nowadays, because of course it was 98, so it has been, it's 14 years old.
Yeah.
So, of course you could expect like the graphics in the movie to be a little dated.
Yeah.
But if you actually, I should actually state, if you know nothing about Storm Riders, I will get a plot up. And if you haven't, where the fuck have you been? If you just listened to the show for the first time, how dare you? How do you not know Storm Riders?
I'm sorry.
Don't answer for the audience.
Oh.
So, an evil warlord takes in two students, Wind and Cloud, Yikan Cheng and Aaron Kwok, in an effort to become an invisible. Become invincible. Become an invisible. So he could take over the world. So, yes, basically, Sonny Chiba is trying to become the fucking greatest warrior of all time. Like, he has his Conqueror's Clan.
Mm-hmm.
But a Buddha tells the tale that he can only become like undefeatable once he obtains these two children called Wind and Cloud.
Yeah.
And through a quick harsh montage of parents being killed, he obtains those children.
Mm-hmm.
Aye, basically once he obtains the children, like the Buddha who is called Mud Buddha, informs him, says, right, okay, now that you've got the children in quite a merciless way, you sick bastard for killing their parents and sleeping with their mothers and not loving their mothers, and it's like you're going to have to wait 10 years now to find out what happens next.
Aye. So you've got 10 years of invincibility. Maybe about to beat you in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So it does like a quick fast forward 10 years.
Aye.
And it's Aaron Kwok taking the manliest shower. Like, I'm just gonna like crouch underneath a waterfall and then scream.
Aye, that's pretty cool.
He's like, nah, I probably couldn't even stand in that water. I'd be like, oh, not cold.
Aye.
He says, no, I would stand there in my fucking, I was gonna say loincloth, but no, that was a different film altogether. Let's see, I do have notes on this, but it's essentially the only way for Sonny Chiba's character to get to become undefeated is to make Wind, well, is it to defeat Wind and Cloud? Or make them, like, he is essentially, is like the second half of his wish to become the fucking mighty ruler is like, kill them.
No, it was inside that wee Pandora box thing.
Aye, once he's, once that opened,
I said the riddle was something to do with like the big and powerful dragon will be defeated when Wind and
Cloud unite.
Cloud turn into a storm or something like that.
Aye.
So you kind of figured out that they two are going to be the only people that can beat them, so he has to try and kill them off before they become friends.
Mm-hmm. Or transform into like a Power Ranger style machine and fight him.
Yeah.
So, I do have a little notes here for this episode. The UK DVD of Storm Riders is most infamous because it has two different cuts. It's got the director's cut and the international cut, which has 40 minutes difference between them. Of course, the movie is 2 hours, 10 minutes long. And, of course, the international cut is just 90 minutes.
What did they cut out?
It's essentially a lot of the backstory.
Oh, like the parents getting killed.
Exactly. I think that's just done through a little montage, like a quick... the scene of them being stabbed, and them fighting in the sky, and then just...
Uh-huh.
It's either that, or it's more or less going into, like, flashback territory. Like... what happened to my parents? I killed them. And then a quick red flashback of Yurong Wong getting stabbed.
No, I think it'll probably be like up until they become like the 10 years. It'll just be like a montage where like they've got somebody telling you what happened in the last 10 years, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like they did have those moments anyway, but on the UK DVD, it doesn't have English subtitles along with like the Chinese writing going across the screen.
Yeah,
it was basically telling you that like Lord Conqueror, since he's invisible, he is
invincible. He's not invisible.
I know. I'll just say it wrong. I'll always say the wrong one. But basically, like, he wins all the battles. Like, you see the map going
really?
Red.
Low cut style.
Mm. Him grabbing his fist and laughing evil, and so basically he wins all the battles.
Yes.
And for some reason, the UK DVD tries and links this movie so much with the Square Final Fantasy video games.
Do I?
Yes, the front cover. Something like Hong Kong style Final Fantasy is what it says on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I think also one of the characters is called Cloud, which was like the character from the Final Fantasy VII video game, which was like the most prolific one.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so many references to the Final Fantasy video games on the cover art.
Is that like the one that you bought when they were in Cash Generator?
My £1 find, which is still like the best bargain. No, it was £1.
Was it? I thought it was £2 because it was £1 a disc.
No, it was definitely £1. Because I was saying, I got 2 discs for £1. It was because the case had fucking teeth holes in it.
Somebody chewed on it. Was that good?
So I just swapped cases. And it was like easily the best pound I'd ever spent. Like, I think that disc is... these must be about 8 years old now.
Because
I started collecting around the end of 2003. That was when I received my Once Upon a Time in China 3.
Mm-hmm.
And discovered the Hong Kong Legends catalogue. So it must have been around 2004.
Yeah.
I must have came across that one. So, I did notice, I think the main reason for them to quickly cling it and compare it to video games is like the opening credits is like a big CGI James Bond sequence. It had like the lead actor singing the theme song and then just like almost video game footage of what's happening in the film.
Yeah. It's like they should have done it. It would have been much better if they kind of done what they done in Young and Dangerous where they turn it for the comic.
Oh, aye. It's like a panel and then the page flicks over into film.
Mm. Yeah, it would have been much better if they'd done that.
Aye, because I vaguely remember the Young and Dangerous ones, where it was like a panel, then it faded out into them.
Aye, it was a photo of the guy in the comic with his thumb in his ear, and then it kind of faded out to
Yichen thumb in his ear.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. But, I was like the amount of crazy CGI in this movie. I'm thinking it was as if somebody bought Andrew Lau like a PlayStation 2 for his Christmas, and he was so fucking happy he decided to make a Young and Dangerous movie with dragons.
Was the PS2 out at that time?
I reckon 1998.
Because fucking Final Fantasy 7 came in 1997. That was on the PlayStation 1.
Let's see. Wikipedia, PlayStation 2. 2000.
2000.
Okay, you saw the future.
Yeah.
You got a PlayStation 1 then.
Yeah.
Or a Sega Saturn.
No, Final Fantasy's not on the Sega Saturn.
Well, this is not the director that compared it to Final Fantasy. This was the UK, the UK marketing basically.
Right.
For some reason, they couldn't think of the word ninja or assassin at that point.
They didn't know what they were.
Aye, they had a PlayStation.
Yeah.
But the film is chocked full of CGI backdrops, a really funky CGI dragon.
Yeah.
Just paint it purple and call it Spyro.
I suppose it was just like an angry version of Spyro.
Mm-hmm. At first, it was like a cow. It was either Crow or Bat, one of the lackeys took one of the fire fruit,
we're
calling it, and he handed it over and it just licked it off his palm. And he was like, oh, it's just a giant fire cow.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just blazed him.
ate the top half of his body.
Mm-hmm. So one of the great scenes for me was when Fong, which was played by a Young and Dangerous cast member Jason Chu, Fong from the Unchallenged City, chases down the Shaolin monk transporting the fire monkey, of all things. And the Shaolin monk, also played by Roy Chung, notorious Young and Dangerous bad guy,
who
has the ability to be resurrected or reincarnated every film. But that's the thing, when he's having to fight off the guys from the Unchallenged City, his only defence seems to be his tangerine fist. The ability to shoot oranges at fast speeds.
The worst move ever.
Mm-hmm. It could have been fireballs, but it just looked like it was either a tennis ball or oranges.
Tennis balls hurt me, I suppose. Oranges when they leave bruises.
True. But that could, this might just be the whole progression, in the sense that wind and frost show up seeking the fire monkey themselves, and after a quick CGI bout, we actually get to see what I think is one of the better CGI choices for the film, is frost fists, when he punches the person,
they go
a negative image, as they just turn black and white. And that's a really good use of, rather hitting them, then it's just a giant snowball effect, or they turn to a block of ice.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a really effective camera trick.
Yeah.
That actually pays off, I think. And then, of course, we get to see Yi Kin Cheng defeat Roy Chung for maybe the fourth time in their respective careers.
Just defeats everyone.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very awkward moment of, I guess, to film that in real life, they must have just had Ekin hanging from a wire, Roy standing there, and then they just added a filter of a whirlwind effect on top of them.
Yeah.
And next thing we know, Roy's peacefully buried under rocks, looking up going, I'll forgive you for this. It's fine, don't worry. But, I think it does. Some of the wire work and fight scenes in the movie still hold up.
Mm-hmm.
And even, it does seem to add, the music seems to kind of work with it as well. When it comes to, the final battles and Wind's fighting Lord Conqueror, and you see the great effects with, when he slams the sword down.
Aye, that was pretty good.
Several swords shoot across.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has an upbeat music playing in the background as well. Just your boss battle music.
Yeah.
But, yes, I have to say, it does, funnily enough, still hold up. In preparation for the episode, you'll hear at the start of the episode, I was I guess. I seem to have this strange grudge about rewatching movies. I feel like I need to be watching something new all the time, but there's nothing wrong with rewatching this. I felt
I told you.
I was gonna, I was going to say, it felt wrong to begin with. It's like, this again, oh, this is going to be really dated, and, like, there is the point, like, the film is 2 hours and 10 minutes long, so you do find yourself tuning out a bit the middle. Like, the post-wedding drama is just too long for my liking.
Yeah.
But I guess at least, like, the evolution of, like, Aaron Kwok's character and, like, him upgrading his shit, basically.
Yeah, that was good. That's good. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it is all worth it in the end, and it's definitely an easily accessible film. Like, I guess they're no longer doing prints of the DVD, but I'm sure if you look on places like Amazon and Play.com, there's always going to be somebody selling a second-hand copy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this stuff is easily available. Or do what I done and look in, like, your local cash generator. You could buy it for, like, £1. Well, that was the going price about 10 years ago, so...
You left past 9 pence.
Aye, £1.09.
Yeah.
So, but I am a little bit tempted, but I'm not sure how it works in the sense of Blu-rays. Like, I know this has been remastered, and obviously when I was watching it, it was boxed. Like, it wasn't widescreen, it was just...
What, this film?
Yeah.
The one I saw was widescreen.
But how did you obtain yours, one, Andrew?
Illegally.
So, if you're downloading, a rip, that could have been off a... updated. Like, that could have came from the remastered, or...
Yeah.
Like, the one I had didn't fill the full screen, I had to, like, hit the zoom button for it to fill the width of my TV. Because I was just basically playing in the centre of the centre of the television. I was like, oh. So.
This is real.
There was no DVD upgrading. Upscaling, should I say.
No, it says there's a Storm Raiders 10th Anniversary Edition Blu-ray.
Aye.
That'd be cool. Is there anything new on it?
God knows. Unless they've found, like, an abundance of unused footage where they fight more CGI dragons.
They'll be eating more fruit.
Aye. It's just that them feeding fruit to placid dragons.
No, it'll just be there, like, 10 minutes of them sitting eating every fruit in that cave. So they only show you them eating it one each, but one each isn't enough. So they
Or it's more of a backstory for the Bat and Crow. Like, when Cloud says, pick up the colored stones for charity. And then it's like half an hour of them. It's like, oh, pick up the stones. Yeah, sure, I'll pick up. Fucking, do you know how many fucking colored stones there is? Jesus fucking Christ. Just half of them sitting cherry picking colorful stones. Fucking making fun of Aaron Kwok behind his back. Just adding a little bit extra to those characters.
Yeah.
Or the really awkward scene of the fucking Mud Buddha having the fire monkey suck out his poison. Like, suck it. Right there. Yeah, it's a boil. Yeah, that big purple boil at the tip. Suck it. Oh,
but that's
fire
the thing.
Monkey. Fire monkey.
He was the guy carrying the fire monkey, wasn't he?
No, Roy Chung was the monk carrying.
No, he was the guy that was running away. With the wee lassie, yeah.
Yes, he was in disguise.
Why didn't they just, like, say, fuck you, give me that monkey right now.
Turn away, little girl. Me and the monkey need a moment. Drain the poison. The monkey gets, like, a facial
poison. Hurry up so
this
bear can get to work.
Aye. This is our lunch break, hurry. Let me just quickly squeeze some of this poison out of you. And the poor Buddha's sitting there with a cloth wiping the monkey's face. Said, poor fire monkey, you don't deserve this life. Sits and feeds him a little tangerine. Oh, Storm Riders fan fiction. There will be some out there.
It could have happened in the comic.
Aye. And that's one thing we've not really touched on. Like, obviously, it is based on a notable comic book series, which isn't really readily available in the UK. There might be some specialist comic book stores that have it, but...
Where did you get a hoodie of your version?
I imported my paperback from an American distributor. It was something through Amazon, and it like took 2 months to get here.
Yeah, and I still read it. It was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I read it. It went into more detail with Wynn's dad.
Aye.
And how he was an absolute asshole. And he was the same as Lord Conqueror. He was in questing for to be the best in the world, kind of thing. And he ate a wolf.
Oh well, I did notice it had like a family tree set up in the first page. So it showed you how it all like progressed. But I should really get around to reading it. Like, I've owned this book for about 3 years now. Like most books I buy, I just use them to fill shelf space. So, let's just wrap that one up. That is our Storm Riders discussion for this episode.
Yeah. Very enjoyable.
Very enjoyable. Yeah, we'll put a cap on it there then. So, if you want to get in contact with Podcast on Fire, you could find us through various means. Of course, we have the obvious one, our email, podcastonfire@googlemail.com. We've got us all on our Facebook groups. Just search Podcast on Fire Network. And if you want to find our fan page where you could like us, it is facebook.com/POF Network. Did I mention Twitter?
No.
So yes, feel free to twat us a tweet on the Twitters, twitter.com/podcastonfire. Actually, now on our website we've updated it, so links to all these facilities, our Facebook groups and Twitter, are all accessible from our website, podcastonfire.com. And yeah, I should probably throw out a couple quick plugs for other websites here, because I have now received my very awesome Mr. Vampire t-shirt from shelflifeclothing.com. Brian Kirby designed and distributed. I'm not sure how much he's done, but he did start off with a discounted range of Mr. Vampire t-shirts, where it's, they actually look like Super Puzzle Fighter characters. Like their cartoon style Lam Ching Ying and like a hopping vampire. So it does, it looks, it's nice symbol. It's got like a yin yang symbol in the background, so it is pretty badass. I think the sale period is now over, so you could probably just buy it for the normal price, but definitely it's worth the money. That address is shelflifeclothing.com. So, and if you're not interested in Mr. Vampire, he does have a vast amount of movie t-shirts. The majority of them are all it's like original designs. Like, these are movies that don't actually exist. It's things he's actually created himself, and it just looks like either old western posters or Shogun and Kaiju. So it sort of tackles all grounds. And these designs could also be bought, even if you're not looking for the t-shirt, but these designs could also be bought as posters, skateboard decks, hoodies. And even
skateboard like, decks.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. What would a fucking skateboard deck be?
A very flat deck. A curve on the end.
Like most decks.
Yeah.
So basically, he's also selling custom willy warmers, is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Look at my Kaiju willy warmer.
Yeah. Need it in this weather.
It's just fucking a Godzilla going along the shaft and then the mouth opens. Nah, it's throwing up a purple skull.
Oh.
So yes, enough cock jokes. Yeah. Another podcast I should give a shout out to is the Mass Movie Side UK guys. These are some Scottish guys that have started up their own cult movie podcast. And well, I say cult movie, it is a mixture. Their first episode was Evil Dead 1 and 2, second episode they tackled Running Man and Commando, where they do some spot on impressions of Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Australian bad guy, and it is pretty funny. They've also done an audio commentary for Twilight, so this is like three Scottish guys, like ice hockey players, fucking guys are in rock bands, and they're sitting down to watch Twilight. So I'm sure, it's going to be an amusing take on it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them were looking forward to it. So they're now going into their Christmas run of podcasts. So they are doing Trading Places and Die Hard. I think they're also going to be looking into Gremlins as well. So the address for them is massmoviesideuk.com. I say that, and it could be wrong. If I am wrong, it will be corrected on the website. So, I have been your host for this episode. I'm Stuart Sullen, and joining me today we've had Andy Walker.
Yes, I've been here.
This whole time.
Nearly. I went to the toilet halfway through. Just when you're young.
Fuck's sake. Right. Right, don't put me off a train of thought. Let's keep this going here. Positive energy, let's not swear at Andy. So,
fuck you, God.
This should be the music fading out. I'm not listening to you, boy. And if you're interested in The Walking Dead Season 3, do not listen to that man.
That will destroy it.
Season finale of Walking Dead 3, we have now seen it. So if you are wanting to know our opinion, keep on listening. After the credits, we will go spoiler mad on the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. Fuck you, Andy.
Fuck you too, Stuart.
Fuck you. Oh, fuck you, man.
You get awfully aggressive at the end of the podcast, so use common names.
If you could believe it, there was actually a week between us recording this episode of Podcast and Fire, starting it and finishing it.
Fishing.
So, we went fishing for a week, and now we're back, and we've watched the Walking Dead finale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mid-season, the new craze.
Every cunt's got mid-season, it is.
Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as Breaking Bad, where they've taken an entire year. Walking Dead, we'll be back in February. Fucking Breaking Bad, we'll be back in July.
Breaking Bad's July?
Yep.
Oh.
An entire year.
Fuck's sake.
Yep. That's him just starting to read the script for it as well. Like, Aaron Paul put a post on Twitter saying he's just read the first episode and it's shocked him to beyond belief. Of what they're doing in the first episode.
Oh.
He said you could only sum it up by saying holy shit. So, like, it's like don't talk about it until it's like a week before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just makes me hurt so much more. I know I'm just not gonna get to see it any sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're not talking about Breaking Bad. We're talking about Walking Dead.
Yep.
So, The fucking episode to begin with just spun us in a new direction by introducing like new survivors.
Yeah. Apparently they're really big in the comics.
Aye. To whom I thought it was, it's different.
Do you think it was going to be the guy for the very first episode?
No.
No, I thought it was going to be the black guy in his lodi that saved Rick in the street.
Right.
I thought it was going to be him.
Can't mind if it. For that episode there, did they ever come back?
I've not seen them, no.
Nah.
Because right, they stopped talking to them when the walkie-talkie ran out of batteries.
Mm-hmm. Like, they did come back in the comics, I think. Or they revisited them.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get ended that well in the second visit.
Oh.
But, actually, now that this character here is more like most, I had gotten like the leader of the group, Tyrese.
Yeah.
Aye. This is the guy that I was convinced that T-Dog was. Like, I thought T-Dog was basically the nickname for Tyrese.
So that's when you thought there was loads of stories for T-Dog.
Aye.
But his name was Tyrese.
Exactly. So, like, Tyrese is a big part of the comic.
Yeah.
But when he came into it, I thought he was Abraham, which was another black survivor.
Oh, God, they survived.
So, but that's the thing. It pretty much, it seems to be in the sense that they could only have, like, it is white supremacy. Like, there is one Asian guy in Walking Dead. And it looks like there could only be one black person existing at a time. Like, T-Dog died in the prison.
Yeah.
In the prison, you got introduced to Oscar.
Yeah.
And in the season, this season finale, we get introduced to Tyrese. And in the season finale, Oscar gets killed.
Yeah, he gets introduced to Shogun.
So, Hank is dying words for... Argh! And that also leads me to, like, the Woodbury shoot-off between the prison survivors and the people of Woodsbury.
Yeah.
I think it was proven that the Woodsbury people can't shoot for shit.
Yeah, balls.
But it just seemed like a good 2 minutes of them shooting in, like, a cloud of smoke with these smoke grenades.
Yeah.
It was Rick and Daryl shooting into smoke. Then it's all those guys shooting into smoke. I wish they would cut to, like, a wide shot and they were actually back-to-back shooting nothing.
Just shooting two separate clouds of smoke.
Exactly. It's got Rick and Daryl shooting a bus. The people of Woodsbury shooting a wall.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, all these bullets flying. It's like, absolutely no one's being hit.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking it was going to be, like, the typical thing where they're all fine, then somebody kind of falls over. And it says, oh, what's wrong? They're picking up and real, like, you suddenly see the bullet wounds. Which was what they used in the Boardwalk Empire finale.
No, don't stray from topic.
But it was so good. So, and funnily enough, there was never that moment.
No.
Like, there was a shot of, like, Glenn slumped, but of course he just had the shit kicked out of him in general.
Yeah.
But it was Rick and the guys broke into Woodsbury and done, like, a SWAT style fucking rescue mission, saving Maggie and Glenn.
And just a poor wee fucking farmer man. So he's inside the building, he sees him moving about and he comes in.
Yeah, he thinks his fucking kids raiding the fucking sweetie cupboard. I know you're in here, and Rick's fucking still mentally fucked, so he just fucking grabs the guy. He's like, "What? No, who are you?" And he gets fucking introduced to the fucking back end of a crossbow.
Yeah, should have been the front end.
That poor bastard. That was not what you're expecting. You weren't expecting fucking armed men with. And a woman with a fucking samurai sword.
Yeah.
He was expecting fucking maybe rowdy teenagers or, like, a simple guy fucking looking for biscuits. But.
Simple guy.
And one thing I did love about the moment that you got to see with Maggie and Glenn when they were being held captive was Glenn fucking, like, he could be the fucking leader of the group if he wants to be. Like, the fact that he turned the fucking zombie's arm into a fucking shiv. Like, he grabbed the fucking zombie's arm, broke it, pulled out the bone.
Yeah.
Like, in the most fucking... just stomach-turning moment of seeing that fucking jelly arm being snapped in half.
Yeah.
And then pulling bone out it. It was, like, the ultimate shiv. Like, if you stab them, that's fine, but the thing is, it's also fucking, like, zombie blood. Like, that's a nice infection there as well.
If they survive, they won't survive for long.
Now, did they actually do anything to that dude in the episode? Like, they shivved him, and he died. Did they just leave him, or did they
I think Meryl stabbed him in the head.
Aye, because it's got scenes like, you're forgetting, you've got a zombie on your hands now.
Yeah.
You don't want to just walk away saying, damn it. Like, that son of a bitch could come back up and just slowly start eating the town from the inside out. So. But. It was a great episode. And the battle between, like, Michonne and the governor. got pretty gritty. And it's like all the animatronic heads. She's sitting fighting this man, he's sitting trying to choke her out, and then there's just this severed head beside her just chomping at her.
Nom 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 nom.
Fucking putting her head in the fucking fish tank, and there's more severed heads looking at her trying to bite.
Yeah.
Like, it's, that was pretty badass. And then just fucking stabbed him in the eye.
That was awesome. I thought he should have died for that a bit. I suppose he's evil, so evil people did die for wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking door died though. Hi oh. fucking samurai sword through the neck.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was it was the back of the head and through the mouth.
Yeah, I came out.
I seen
the
like somebody slow mode, like an animated gif of it. And as the sword goes through, it knocks her teeth out as well.
Aye.
Aye. There's fucking chunks of blood and teeth just shooting out of her mouth.
Good hell.
I was like, oh, the detail in this show is disturbing. Like, it is easily, like, when there needs to be the category of, like, best makeup effects or something, and they just don't even bother nominating anyone, they just send the award to them each year. Like, the great moment where, like, Tyrese in Notenin, his weapon of choice seems to be a fucking claw hammer. And it just hits a zombie in the face, and he fucking whips around, and it's just a big fucking torn skull. There's all that moment where they'll spin around, pause for a second so you could see it, and then drop to the ground. So, yes, and like the fucking cliffhanger ending, of course, was Daryl getting captured, and then fucking Meryl, being
double-crossed.
Just saying he was the one that committed treason. He is the fucking traitor in our midst, and here is his brother. Should we see them fight to the death? And like, this is the moment you're sitting up on the couch going, oh yes, come on, let's, like, what the fuck's gonna happen? Then there's credits, and like, no! I fucking cried for like 10 minutes. I've done the opposite. I shouted at the TV.
No!
Exactly. I screamed no at the TV, and Margaret looked at me and was like, it's just a show. She got that look when I'm fucking screaming at Borderlands 2 when I get killed, when I feel like I shouldn't have gotten killed.
Yeah.
And you give her that look, and it's like, I'm not angry, I'm not crazy, it's just the game. Why are you walking out the room? So, yes, that is us until February now.
Not podcasting, just Walking
Dead. Yeah. Walking Dead wise. Our Walking Dead discussion is now on hold.
Yeah, we're not podcasting until Walking Dead comes back, fuck you.
Yes, we are not sponsored by AMC.
Nad, did you not see
the actual Talking Dead?
Yeah.
No.
The bit that they showed you that's coming up.
What, how they show you an episode for the next season? Well, yeah. The next half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do?
Did you not see it,
No, I never bothered watching it.
Oh. The wee bits that shows you a lot of smoke getting flung at the fight, getting with their way to fight.
Yep.
And the governor's standing there shouting into midair.
Mm-hmm.
Just going, nah! And then it cuts to a bit where they're back at the prison. And Rick's Lodi's telling them to, I don't think you should be leader anymore.
Right.
Which is, Lodi's turned on his dad. And then...
What about the fucked up moment where Rick did have the mental breakdown and saw Shane walking out of the smoke,
that was
looking like fucking Wolverine?
Yeah, I explained that on Talking Dead. It's because he's doing a movie,
right?
At the moment, so and it was in his contract. He had to have a beard and he had to have his hair that way.
Aye.
So what they done was just got a guy that looked like him, and when they shot him, they just switched back to that guy that looked like him.
But it's like that moment where it's like, oh shit, Rick's losing his marbles on the battlefield.
And at the end of that bit for the future, it's Rick walking a wall with a couple of guns, and then it's just like Herschel shouting at him, telling him to come back, but he doesn't.
So, yes, till February. But for Podcast on Fire, next week.
Oh! Bombshell. I didn't even care about that.
So yes, we're looking to record our Christmas episode. I think that's where we get everyone around a campfire, get some cocoa,
marshmallows.
Mhm. And yeah, and then we record the show after that little gay campfire.
Yeah. And we're all tired.
Mm-hmm.
All we could do is
can't
talk.
Can't be talking about film.
No, all we could do is talk. We're physically unable to move.
Okay, so till next time, fuck you.
Ram at your fucking dick.